Welcome, everybody, to episode 516 of our Pre-Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. Gentlemen, I know we had a little bit of audio issues to start with, which is pretty much par for the course for us. But in lieu of that, how are you? Breakman, how are you?
Did that hear? Did you?
I heard that.
You heard that? Okay, good.
Yeah. Your cat is being co-hosted.
Okay, audio work now. Good.
Are you caveman lawyer?
Yeah, Captain Caveman, man. All right, Eric, how are you, man? I know we had a quick second to talk before we got on air, but you doing all right?
I'm all right. I mean, I still haven't gotten Windows 10 on this computer yet.
Ah, gotcha.
So my brother decided to buy a key from somewhere at work.
Yeah.
At a discount, I guess, but he mailed me a DVD that he printed to, but hasn't got here yet.
Ah, gotcha. Well, at least you're back on track, man, to get things back in order, and you're here on the show. Let's go ahead and get started with the news here. I got some business to take care of with Breakman later, but we'll talk later. It's gonna
I don't even want to go there.
I'm going there, man.
I'm gonna pretend my mic doesn't work then.
Just involves the F ball word, then
the fool's ball.
Yeah, exactly.
This involves the fool's ball.
But I have business with Frank.
Oh, okay. Well, then, sweet. After the news,
risky business.
Yeah, no.
Funny business.
Hopefully not.
Game risky business.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Game business. Cool. All right. Let's get into
RPG news.
All right, Eric. Let's get started with the first story. First story
is about how Path of Exile for PS4 has been delayed to next year, February. No real date.
Yeah, I think that's all the news that we need on that, as I'm trying to get my goddamn
I think it's kind of dumb to release a game at the end of the year anyway.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of the reason why. But you know, whatever.
Smash is coming out next week.
Oh, that's right. It is. So that's going to pretty much dominate everything. Wyland's in chat. I just want to make a note of that before we go on. Might buy some more album frames. Yeah, that would be cool. He's got some OSTs that he's coming in with the.
I do like the name of this company though, Grinding Gear Games.
Yeah, Grinding Gear. That's cool. All right, break. Let's move on to the next story. You know I saved these.
I know why you did. I already proofread it, son of a bitch. Coming to us live from RPG site, Nelki and the Legendary Alchemist set for release on March 26th in North America and March 29th in Europe.
Yeah,
Koei Tecmo has announced that they are releasing Nelki and the Legendary Alchemist. Ateliers of the new fucking world.
Yeah. I always save the best.
I think I might have ad-libbed a little in there. But
I don't know if we did the Lulu release date for Japan yet. Yeah. I think we might have done that last week, but...
Yeah. I
think Freak is missing the story. There's a bunch of pixelized cleavage.
I'm looking. It's rather risque for... I don't remember Atelier being this risque, but hey.
It has been.
Yeah. The nice thing about like the medieval games is usually the women are women as opposed to girls.
Yeah. Wyland says he might be able to get Smash for $5. Man, you son of a bitch, hook me up, man. I want Smash for... I don't have a Switch game yet, damn it. All right, let's move on from pixelated boobs to... more pixelated boobs from RPGsite.net. Destiny Child to be available globally.
They're reforming?
Exactly.
No, that's Beyonce and us.
Kelly Rowan and Beyonce reforming Destiny Child? No, just kidding. It'll be available globally in English December 2018. I think that's pretty much the the entire story there.
Okay, more pixelized boobs. He's missing this. Where's Freak at? He's missing the boobies.
Usually,
if this game gets localized, it's going to have to be renamed because it's way too close to Destiny's Child.
I don't think they will rename it. Why? I mean, it's a video game. It's not.
I don't think there'd really be a problem because Destiny's Child. I mean, they. I don't see them like suing.
Are they selling records at this point?
No, not really. Well, like maybe they'll get together for like a reunion tour or something at some point.
Oh, I'm sure.
When Beyonce is like 50 something.
Is she ever?
The artist is the guy who did the artwork for Magna Carta.
Oh yeah, that's a good thing to mention. The artist is a great artist, no question about it. It's I think Hyung-tae Kim is the illustrator. He's fantastic. Weiland said he got a $50 gift card when he bought his Switch. Oh yeah, I remember you saying that, Weiland. Congratulations, man. I'm glad you got a Switch, and I'm glad you got that $50 gift card, and he has a $5 reward to use. So that's...
Oh, and if you're a fan of DJ Max, Esty is the composer for the music for this game. Yeah,
there you go. With a special appearance by Destiny Child in the game. No, I'm kidding. all right, Eric, take us to...
Doesn't Beyonce have like her own mobile games?
Yeah, I think so. Like the Kim Kardashian games.
Like she probably makes a fortune off.
Oh, no question. You know where Kim Kardashian made most of her money? Like for the past, like I think 3 years was off.
It's off the mobile game.
Yeah,
right?
That mobile
game. From what I've heard, like that mobile game is one of the most popular in the world. It's ridiculous.
Yes, it's super ridiculous, and it's the dumbest game ever. Like I don't know.
I saw a video of it. I'm like, I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's just a popularity contest, which I think is a bad message for kids. And
I know it's Kim Kardashian. Like her.
Yeah. Did we lose you, Break? Did you hit the mute button?
I hit the mute button by accident. Right. I was moving something. And
that's right.
Touched.
No problem.
I'd molested the mute button.
Just blame your cat.
Yeah, just blame the... I would always blame the cat, man. I'd be like, God damn
it. She jumped on the keyboard a little bit ago. So if I say anything weird in chat, I just want to warn you guys ahead of time.
All right, Eric. Next story, please.
Hey, right, next story is about... Why Idea Factory? Why? But yeah. Record of Agorist War Marriage is coming to Steam.
Oh, is it marriage or mariage? It looks like a different.
They spelled it wrong.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
They misspelled marriage.
Love and mariage.
Marriage.
Yeah. I'm sure it's like two words that they threw together.
Yeah, probably. All right. So tell us
marriage,
about
marriage. I don't know.
There's no actual wedding bells in this game.
Japanese voiceovers with English, Japanese, simplified Chinese, and traditional Chinese subtitles.
Ooh.
This originally was a PSP game, and unlike the other Agorist Wars games, I think it actually did use 3D models, and the characters kind of looked SD.
Hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. Ugh. Yeah,
but it's still a fan service-y game. So
I'm thinking,
I don't know if it's better than the Record of Agorist Wars games, but I'm betting no.
I'm betting no too. But I mean, more pixelated boobs. Where's Freak?
I know. Where's Freak? He is missing it. Like usually he's here for this stuff.
Oh man, like radar ears for pixelated boobs, man. All right,
It's weird that IFI is actually doing this and not Ghostlight, though.
Yeah, that is.
Maybe
weird.
It'll be less buggy.
Yeah, no more mad buggy. All right. Break, let's go on to...
Coming to us live from Gamatsu.
More pixelated moves.
Dai Toshoken no Hitsuchikai. Sokan.
Oh, God, this is so good. I love it when Break...
Liberty Party coming to PS4 on February 21st, and I'm ignoring Frank. Due out in standard and limited editions. Romance visual novel, Dio Sokan. Shokan, yes. Right?
It's Daito Shokan no Hitsuchikai.
Yeah, what he said.
Hitsuchikai. Well, I had that one right, but it was Daito Shokan no Hitsuchikai.
Yeah,
Liberty
there you
Party
go.
Is coming to PlayStation 4 on February 24th. I don't care if you're complimenting. I'm still ignoring you.
It's probably just Library Party in Japanese.
You'd think Break would get better at reading these over time, Weiland says. It's not me that's saying that, so don't kill the messenger, Break, man.
Hey, 7,910 yen limited edition will include the Bekenku and Io Natsuno illustrated visual book, colorful collection addendum. Jesus Christ. A coaster set of all the heroines. A Kingyo Ichino Day Off voice CD, and the novel Kinigo. Oh, Jesus Christ. Kinigo after Kinigo's after party.
Kinigo's.
Kinigo, Jesus Christ. The same one included with the PS Vita version. I'm not reading that one again.
You know, we should have like a drinking game. How long Breakman takes to get frustrated where he does not want to say the name again. Like that would be like one thing on the board. That'd be pretty awesome. All right, man. I'll let you go with that, man. I just like torturing you a little bit there, Breakman. So anything else on this, Eric, or are we square on this?
That's it.
All right. Next story comes to us from Gamatsu. Don't you feel better now that you're off the hook, Break? Tell the next one. Anyways, Guacamelee 2 for Switch launches December 10th. Xbox One version coming January 2019. First downloadable content available now for the PS4 and PC. So that's interesting. It's Super Turbo Championship Edition, and they'll receive a 30% discount, which is cool. Let's see. The add-on is dubbed Tree and Amigos, which means enemies, I guess. The add-on costs $2.99. Yue Peck, Jaguar Javier as playable characters. That's a nice touch, each with their own unique attributes. The pack will also come to Switch and Xbox One when those versions launch. Proving Grounds, which is the second add-on pack, will launch in December for $3.99. Features 15 unique challenges where you can unlock Flame Face, Chamoya, which I think is funny, Cascorona, Ramirez, Ue Coco, and two other secret playable characters. If one is...
You'll throw your controller in frustration because those challenges will be putt hard.
Oh, yeah, of course. If one of those characters isn't the Chupacabra, I'm gonna not get this game ever.
It's an enemy in the game.
Oh, well, I want a playable character, Chupacabra.
And it flies.
Oh, sweet. Even better. I played a little of the first Guacamelee. I liked it. I think I got it free at one point or something. I don't know. Or played a demo or I don't know. I liked it, but all right. Next story.
You don't remember you were there.
Yeah, I know. I don't. You son of a bitch. Yeah, I fought the Chupacabra.
He's the one that named the Chupacabra.
Goddamn right I did. I was the first one to see the Chupacabra back in,
It was your Bigfoot. Nobody believed you.
Nobody believed me until they actually...
I thought he made the Chupacabra when he made it with some sort of weird squirrel thing.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, exactly.
So
evolution.
Chupacabras are demon squirrels?
Yeah, yes. Demon squirrels. Fucking squirrels, man. I hate squirrels. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Platogo canceled for, which is, the full name is Platogo, Super Platform Game Maker, which is why it's called Platogo. It's just short. But officially canceled for PS4 and Xbox One, now Switch and PC only.
Wow, that's weird. They must have just had a hard time getting this thing out.
Either that or... they don't have the money for the other versions.
Yeah, we'll do what everybody else does. Go on fucking...
Or they're worried that Sony will just, like, ban their content or something.
That's
so,
true.
Like, why do that? Hands out. And besides, getting certification from Microsoft is already hard enough. So that's probably extra headache they didn't want to deal with.
Well, Nintendo is nothing to sneeze at with their limiting of content, too. So I don't know. I don't quite understand.
Yeah, but Nintendo will at least... If you're a third party, Nintendo at least will let you decide what you want to release.
Yeah.
As long as the ESRB says it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Break, next story, please.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Platgo? Super Plat... Wait,
no,
did
next.
You just read this
one? Yeah, next.
Okay, what the fuck? Why did that one load? Okay, coming to us live from Gamatsu. Kalopal announces RPG project Babel for smartphones. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know, man.
Kalopal? I don't know.
Who knows?
Kalopal has announced Project Babel, a new RPG for smartphones featuring a scenario by Katsushige Nojima, Final Fantasy VII, Dragon's Dogma Online, etc., and sound by Hitoshi Sakimoto. Final Fantasy XII, Tactics Ogre, etc. It will be a free-to-play title with item-based microtransactions.
Of course.
Jesus Christ. Can't see microtransactions. Yeah. Oh my God, what the fuck?
You went full... what was I going to say? Like, you can't say any, not mute, but what's that, a full stuttering John break.
I'm done with this, fuck me, fuck.
I'm playing the trailer.
I found out what the word means on the internet.
Oh, what does it mean, Eric?
It doesn't actually have a definition. It's a stupid entry, but it doesn't have a listing.
Gotcha. Well, I played
he the... lamented that the town will die, but he wanted to leave this place. The sky was higher and the wind more powerful than he had imagined, as if they were calling him.
Yeah, I fast-forwarded the trailer, and it's just a bunch of cool Final Fantasy-type CGI.
Here's the interesting tidbit I found out about the company, though. Nintendo apparently sued them for a joystick patent. In the beginning of the year.
Wow, awesome. That's of all things to sue a company, man. That's weird. Okay.
I hate when they just show cutscenes. They don't show any gameplay, or they just show like a little snippet of gameplay and it's all cutscenes.
Apparently, they didn't lose too much money because they're still making stuff.
Exactly.
Or like the latest trend where they just have live actors pretending like they're, I don't know, sort of playing the game or something.
Yeah, exactly. I hate that
shit. They're acting as characters in it, but we still don't get to see gameplay. It's just ridiculous.
I hate that. It sucks. It's dumb. It's not representative. It doesn't get people excited anymore. Everybody does that. So,
yeah.
You know. All right, let's move on to more pixelated boobs. I think that's going to be the title of this episode. Are you guys kind of getting that feeling? Pixelated boobs. Anyways, romance. This comes to us from Gamatsu, by the way. Romance.
8-bit cheesecake is an alternative title.
Yeah, there you go. Romance visual novel Kizuna. I should have given this one to Breakman as well. Kizuna Kirameku Koei Iroha coming to PS4 in 2019 in Japan. See, that kind of flowed a little bit. I'm getting a little bit better. So it's a port. So there you go. It's coming in 2019. And I was just looking for some highlights. There's no real highlights for the game, but it's something to look forward to.
I wonder how much censorship Sony's going to make them put in this game.
I wish the answer to that question...
So why are you bothering, man?
Exactly. I wish the answer to that question was zero. Like, I know Brake and I have talked about this, and you as well, Eric, about censorship, but, man, the time is just over for censorship. Just... have a different, like, I was...
Let third parties do what they want. I mean, they're not making... It's the non-adult version. They should be able to do what they want within the limits of your... within the limits of Japan's legal system.
Yeah, I was looking at a message
board... content like this.
Yeah, I was looking at a message board for the new Disney app because, unfortunately, there was a big news... regarding something that I'm going to talk about in my Stinko, and Break, you probably will talk about it in your Stinko as well, I'm guessing. But another show got canceled, and I won't mention it yet. But people were saying, like, Disney's going to probably tone down, like, the darkness and the, you know, the content of these shows. And I'm like, you know, nobody wants
why
that.
Why would they, though? I mean...
Well,
why would they need to?
Because of their image. Like, Nintendo does that shit all the time, man. I mean, it wasn't until the GameCube when they started coming out with real...
That's why you have, like, a separate Surface or something for that.
No, not even that. How about just having a separate, like parental controls and just let the chips fall where they may? I mean, it makes so much sense. You definitely want parental controls because I don't necessarily want my... 10-year-old daughter.
They own Miramax, and they have a label for adult stuff.
No, I know, but what I'm saying, Eric, is a lot of...
They don't have to run it under the Disney banner, is what I'm saying.
No, but they have to. It's going to be a Disney-run service. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, why not just, put the mature content behind a parental control thing? You know, it's the easiest, most logical thing to do, and nobody really wants to do that. You know what I mean? Like I like the way Netflix does things. They basically tell you TVMA if it's a mature audience show or movie. And that's
I disagree with you.
I don't think it's entirely possible that the shows aren't being canceled, but that's kind of what they had to do at the moment to get the show off Netflix.
Yeah, I know, but we'll talk about that later. But what were you saying, Breakman? Because I think you've got an interesting point.
I forgot what I said, actually. About
Netflix. You don't like the way Netflix
is. You probably don't want to keep paying Netflix.
Oh, I don't like the way Netflix is doing business lately.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I do like the way that like if you notice, like it's a quick TVMA at the beginning. They do have parental controls, they got kid sections. Okay. You know,
I meant. I meant like how quickly they are to give the axe to things.
Oh yeah.
Like that's kind of the missing the point of Netflix. Like these things are supposed to be here so you can go and watch them. You know,
10 years
a year from now. Or something like that, and instead they've jumped the gun on getting rid of them. And well, we found out a lot more today, and it's really because of Disney.
At least we're getting Neon Genesis.
I mean, I'm blaming
in HD finally. Yeah.
I'm blaming Netflix, but it really is because of Disney.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's see who Eric.
I mean, Netflix is culpable, but
yeah, exactly. Next story, Eric.
Next story is. Super Brothers Swords and Sorcery, EP for Switch launches November 30th.
I don't think
which is today.
I thought the next story was Ghost of a Tale. Maybe I skipped something, but
no, that's the one after it.
Okay, no worries then. All right.
Anyways, I played a little bit of this. It's kind of interesting, and apparently a lot of other people liked it a lot. But thankfully, it's finally hitting the Nintendo console because they skipped the Wii U.
Hmm. Okay.
When it came out.
Cool deal. Anything else on that story, Eric?
Not episode one. It's EP, as in like a record, but whatever.
Okay.
But that's pretty much it.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't have that story up for everybody to see. But let's move on to the next story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Ghost of a Tale launches for PS4 and Xbox One in February 2019. The action RPG gets a release window for consoles. Ghost of a Tale, which launched or PC.
On.
If they say or. in March and is currently in game preview for Xbox One. I laugh at that kind of stuff, but this sounds like something stupid I would do. We'll see a full release on both PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in February 2019, which we've already said.
Yeah.
Ghost of a Tale is an action RPG game in which you play as Tylo, a mouse and minstrel caught up in a perilous adventure. He's menstruating. The game takes place in a medieval world populated only by animals and puts an emphasis on immersion and exploration. Don't ask how he's menstruating. It features stealth elements.
It's minstrel, not menstrual.
Yes, he was making a point.
It features stealth elements, disguises, conversations with allies, enemies, and quests.
I like how Eric just like corrects.
No, he's like, goddamn asshole, quit fucking up on purpose. Or not. I don't care why you're fucking up. Stop.
Yeah, just stop. It.
You'll be able to explore the secrets of Dwindling Heights Keep and navigate dangers. Tylo is not much of a fighter, so stealth and nimbleness are your allies when confronted with enemies twice your size. Talk to the characters you meet and leave no stone unturned in your quest to find Mira, your true love. And have a billion fucking babies because Jesus Christ, mouse have a lot of babies.
Oh God, yeah, they breed like crazy. This game looks super pretty. I'm playing the trailer for everybody now in chat, and it looks. If you haven't had a chance to look at the trailer, I don't know how the game plays per se, but the trailer looks really, really.
I need to contact these guys.
Yeah, let's see if we can maybe get someone to do an interview or even get a copy of the game, Eric.
I'm wondering, based on like some of the gameplay, it kind of looks like Dark Souls.
Yeah, a little bit. I could see that. Dungeons in chat. What's up, Dungeon? He said that's typical Netflix, though. They quietly axe a lot of projects to offset the insane cash burn they go through. Exactly. He also says
Don't forget they're making a sequel to Death Note.
Yeah, oh God, that's such a bad movie. Ghost of a Tale had a good response on Steam. It's a neat story though. It seems to have a lot of backtracking. That, you know what though, Dungeon? I have no problem backtracking if they do it like Metroid. If they do it like Metroid, they really should call Metroid backtrack the game. And that's the way to do backtracking. If it's anything like that, I'd be A-OK with it. Let's move on to the next story. with a company I'm not always okay with, Square Enix, trademarks Parasite Eve in Europe. This comes to us from Gamatsu. So that's the news. What do you guys think of that? Square Enix trademarks Parasite Eve in Europe.
I never played Parasite Eve, so I've never...
This is important because the first Parasite Eve never launched in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think they got it. No, they didn't get it. Maybe they almost got it,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But it never happened. But they almost got the original Parasite Eve on PSN.
Yeah. Dungeon says, I want a Secret of Nim RPG that looks like Ghost of a Tale. You goddamn right, Dungeon. I was thinking the same thing. Like, if that was Ghost or Secret of Nim, or even like a Dark Crystal game in that vein, God. That shit would be so good. What about...
Also, the reason why the third birthday is called the third birthday instead of Parasite Eve 3 is because the original author to the book didn't want anything to do with Square Enix.
I'm totally being taunted by a picture that I will tell you guys about
later. Which makes me wonder why they're trademarking Parasite Eve in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure Dungeon says, Dark Crystal, that would rock. You goddamn... What about a Labyrinth one, man? I want to play as Ludo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see, everybody would know how to beat it. If you've seen the movie, you know you're just down that one path.
Yeah, well, exactly. But hey, I'd take that path.
It'd be a walking simulator.
Can we get David Bowie with the codpiece, though, man? I mean, that's the highlight of that movie, for sure. At least for me, anyways. All right,
I like Muppets.
Just stay away from the Bog of Eternal Stench.
Oh, God, yeah. Let's definitely not even go near
it. Well, we're heading there.
Yeah, I'm you know how old I am. I mean, you know,
of course, there was also a Labyrinth game on the Famicom.
There was one on there. It wasn't very good, from what I remember. Nope. I think that's the one that Dungeon's talking about. So there was a Labyrinth game in the '80s.
The one he's talking about sounds like a computer game.
Yeah, yeah, computer game. You can find it floating around on the net. Yeah, terrible games. All right.
Anyway. With Bowie dead anyway, we shouldn't probably just move on anyway.
Hey, that's the way to keep his music going, man.
But I mean, we can't bring him back to do the voice acting or anything. So
you know what?
Might as well just go.
If we did one of those algorithms,
just have it soundboarded.
Yeah, just soundboarded, man. I'd be okay with that as long as we had his music in there. All right, it's so sad to think about that shit, man. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Next story is a game called Project Europa.
Wow. Okay, smartphones, I'm out.
Kadokawa Games announced strategy RPG Project Europa for smartphones. And it says they apparently plan to utilize the company's experience on Starly Girls, which we talked about before.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like a spiritual successor, I guess. Is the original strategy RPG that begins with a mysterious distress signal is sent to Jupiter's second moon Europa.
Yeah. Okay. The premise sounds okay, but you know, whatever.
That's all we know.
Yeah, that's all we know. It's a mobile game. That's all I really need to know. I mean, I know Break is totally into mobile games like I am, so you know I doubt very seriously we're going to be playing this game. But hey,
we are into the games that we are already playing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Break, next story, please.
That's the hard thing about like these games that we're playing. They command so much like dedication, so many days and months and years of playing them.
Yeah,
it's hard to go and play something else. You know what I mean?
It totally is. Totally is. All right.
It's like I've got so much invested in South Park that it's like I could go play something else, but I go play, I guess, Record Keeper because I'm invested in that too. Shit.
God damn it. Yeah.
Can't play anything new.
I'll be talking about something very similar when I get to what we've been playing, Break. But nonetheless, next.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Rep Kiss coming to Switch on December 20th in Japan. What the hell does that mean? Romance visual novel Rep Kiss.
Yeah.
Representative Kiss? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's coming to the Switch via Nintendo eShop on December 20th in Japan for 4,980 yen.
Class Rep Kiss.
Ooh, what if this is like a secret Mortal Kombat visual novel and it's Reptile Kiss? That would
I'd like to see more actual romance in games.
Yeah, I agree.
I would totally like to see games grow up. Like I would like to see characters get married and have kids and stuff like that, you know?
No, because then that's too close to real life, man. We want to
play.
You
mean like Dragon Quest V?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I want to see characters grow up, like they did with God of War. Like, like Kratos has grown. He has a kid now, and his kid's with him all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Just, like, I want to see more adult situations.
I totally agree.
I don't want to see the budding romance over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Yeah. Will they, won't they? And I'm tired of those over and over again. So,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
I want to see some more adult material.
Not just in
visual novels, but in some actual games. Pre-orders include a 10% discount for a final price of $4,480 yen. A demo is also available.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Breakman. Like, we've talked at not, like, almost most of the topics that we talk about this show, we've talked about several times.
I think
times
before,
before
games grow up, I think, but gamers need to grow up.
Well, the thing gamers have. It's not.
No, I mean, they've grown older. They haven't grown up.
That's not entirely true, Eric.
That's so stereotypical, man. You sound like this typical anti-gamer when you say something like that.
Far off the mark, though.
No, yeah, I think you are, man.
Because you're putting us all in one box.
I know what Breakman is saying. Like, I've said this for years.
Well, if you self-identify as a gamer, then that's your thing.
No, we are all gamers. Yeah,
You're putting us all in that box. That's what we are. We play video games.
But here's,
we're gamers.
Right. Here's the deal, though. I you're onto something, Breakman. Like, it's not only about wanting to see boobs and sex on screen, right? I mean, that's one aspect of the whole thing.
Right, they don't do that in Dragon Quest V, but you have a character get married and have kids, but there's no sex.
Right. But that's the thing. Like, we need more mature storylines. We need better writing in general. Like, most of the games that we play now, especially, I don't know if it's just a cultural thing, but especially from Japan, when we get those games over here, they're not exactly the most mature of, you know, storylines. I mean, they try to maybe over sexualize things, and that's not I think that's kind of missing the mark. Like, we're definitely ready for,
I think that's part of Japanese society is.
Yeah,
I don't know. That sounds like Hollywood too to me.
Yeah,
I mean, when you think about it, like, they're trying to sell these games to teenagers because they want to get teenagers interested in sex, because they want to reverse their low birth rate.
There's definitely something to that too, Eric.
And I know it's like, I know the youth of Japan is more progressive than the older generation, much like our own country. But but a lot of the older people are in charge of these companies in this industry. So it's like, or in other industries even.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of this kind of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right too. I mean, I also think that there is a place for adults only games and video games as well. Like Eric plays a lot of visual novels, but there needs to be more.
I still kind of am, but I need to get back into the erotic ones.
No, I understand. That's what I'm saying. Like it, there's, I mean, definitely on PC you've got that, but on consoles, what is there for the adults only section?
And the only times
there
isn't.
I mean, because you can't sell an A-rated game.
But we've got close to it. Like, and the only times we've gotten close to it's been jokes. It's been BMXXX and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Playboy the Mansion. Like, yeah. I love playing that game. It was fucked up. Stupid as fuck.
Yeah,
you know?
Leisure Suit Larry comes to mind.
Yeah, those are funny. That Leisure Suit Larry games are funny, but they're again, comedies.
Though. Yeah,
they're
not.
They're juvenile.
Yeah, they're not. They're not mature adult-only games is what we're trying to say. Yeah, okay.
Right.
I get the honor of doing the last story for a change here, guys. This comes to us from Siliconera. Mega Miracle Force stars you as an amnesiac in Neptune's world. Idea Factory and Compile Heart have opened up the official site for the crossover mobile strategy RPG Mega Miracle Force, revealing story details and some gameplay screenshots. Hyperdimension, a massive world inhabited by various races in the western continent of Planetune. Gotta love that name. A mysterious shooting star. Was it Halley's Comet? No. A mysterious shooting star was seen streaking through the blue sky. The one who fell like a meteorite onto the outskirts of Planetune was you, the protagonist. Waking up, you find two girls, one cup. No, just kidding. I added that. Waking up, you find two girls who call themselves Neptune and Croy. The truth hitting in your lost memories, a CPU who can't access HDD, a hard drive mode, a battle against fate, and a world called God Dimension.
H-double-Ds.
Yeah, only you, Breakman. Again, where's Freak when you know, say things like that? New adventure where various hopes for the future were intertwined has begun. There's characters, some screenshots of gameplay, stuff like that. So another mobile game.
I'm sure this is a gacha game.
Oh, yeah, no question. All right, so that is the news this week. Let's move on to...
I don't think so. Homie, don't play that.
We need to go on to homie discounts. Any homie discounts this week, guys? Eric, I think you had something listed.
Yeah, PS Plus games for December, I don't really care for. So that's just 1 month I'll go without renewing my PS Plus subscription.
This pisses me off because
I mean, Soma sounds interesting, but the rest of it's kind of boring.
Well, let me defend this PlayStation Plus, because people were bitching about this month's PlayStation Plus. Number one, they're free games. I'll take them. Onrush looks interesting. It's kind of an arcadey like racer, which there aren't very many of, and I have not played that. What pisses me off is last month I bought Soma. And now it's free. But at least
I think someone's coming to Switch too.
Yeah.
Or it might already be on there. But
And one more that you get that I think is pretty interesting too is Iconoclast. It's kind of a cross.
That's a good game. You should just buy it though.
Well,
just buy it. Yeah.
Why when I could get it for free?
Yeah, man? Shut up and just buy it.
Yeah.
Because exactly. You won't really get it for free. And you'll keep renewing your subscription, so you might as well buy it so you can play it forever.
Look, I'm good until 2020. Eric, so if I'm going to play it, I'm going to play it, you know. So and I don't see myself not getting a yearly subscription to PlayStation Plus. They've been fucking killing it this year with if they continue the trend, I could see myself like doing the PlayStation Plus for a very long time if I have the money. One thing I was disappointed in is that the PlayStation 3, which this will be, I believe, this
at least one of them is a visual novel, which is good. It's the best visual novels, Steins Gate.
Yeah, Steins Gate on the PlayStation 3, which I wish these were cross play on the PS4 because I really want to play that. And Steridan is a great. Shoot 'em up game. I love it.
I never heard of it.
Oh, it's Steridan's great, man. It's a procedurally generated game, and most of the time
it's like everyday shooter.
It's just really good, man. It's always seems fresh. It's a really good game. So, and then on the Vita, these are be the final offerings on the Vita. For PlayStation.
Yeah, because they're not doing anymore after next year.
Yeah, they're not doing anymore. But the last game is a really good one for the Vita. It's Papers, Please. So
I think that's on Switch too, though.
Yeah. Okay. But Soma, I just bought, which sucks. But I'm going to go ahead and put it in my library. I don't know why. And then Onrush, because you know why I'm going to put it in my library, because I lost like three games when I had that debacle with my PlayStation. And I'm guessing it's because one or two times I put in a 2-day PlayStation Plus, like not fake account, but I really wanted to get something and I lost them. So that really sucks for me. I lost Gravity Rush 2. And what was the other one that was really interesting?
Excuse me.
And I have no record of me buying it. So it must've been on one of those other accounts. But Soma is a pretty good game from what I played. And Onrush looks interesting. It's just an arcadey racer, but there's not very many of those. So, without further ado, Breakman.
Twitter comments.
All right, Twitter comments. Anything on Twitter?
Would you believe there's actually Twitter comments?
Whoa! All right, you're earning your money, Breakman. So what do we got? Nothing apparently.
No, I'm still waiting for that money.
Oh, I got you. Okay, well, it's in the mail, man. It's in the mail.
Uh-huh. Coming to us from at Glitterina723. That's GLITTERINA 723. I spell it because I don't think I've ever read her tweets, even though we've seen her in chat. Sorry, I was swallowing this beer when I'm trying to talk. She said, all the males are beautiful.
Yeah.
And then there's some emojis. And then Bridget responds at Bernie Nicole 7897.
Bernie. She says Bernie. Yeah, what are you doing?
Bernie. Hey, Bernie.
Hi.
Yeah, your new nickname on the show is Bernie. I hope you
okay.
like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, she likes it. Okay.
Like it.
All right, what do we got?
Anyway, she said, I'm sure I'll hear all about this on RP Grinders today. Well, yes, you have. There you go.
Oh, there's a story behind all that. I'll get to that in a minute, Breakman. It's actually, it's pissing me off, but we'll get to it. We shall get to it.
She also says, yeah, don't get me started on my guys. Okay, go ahead with your story.
No, I'm going to do that later on my Stinko, I believe. Oh. But get out of here. She's taunting me with a picture right now, guys. It's unfair. I'm doing the show. Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on to...
Inquiring Minds want to know.
What have you been playing for the Inquiring Minds, Breakman?
I have been playing something different this week.
Yes, what have you been playing?
Something new that's not new, it's old. And it's a series that I liked and you guys hated. And I'll probably be talking about it for a while, so...
Oh boy, here we go.
Give me my first impressions on Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh god! Okay, alright.
I know how much you guys hate Mass Effect.
Oh Jesus, yes.
It's more like modern day BioWare.
Yeah, I don't like... Well, yeah, whatever. Go ahead. Break.
Sorry, what were you saying, Frank?
No. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, so far, I haven't gotten very far into it. I'm on like the first planet and stuff. He says, Dungeon Moses says, "Wow, Andromeda, you are a brave man." It's still got the same story elements of a Mass Effect type game, but this is going down a new path. It's not related to the other Mass Effects. This one is based on the story of going into deep space and humans trying to colonize planets outside of our own galaxy. And in this case, they go to the Andromeda system. Well, at this point, you did get the super patched version, says Dungeon Buster. And this is the super patched version, so maybe you'll get a better experience. I can tell you early on, this game has a lot of bugs.
Yeah.
It is very fucking buggy. But there's been no, like, gameplay ending bugs. It's just been mostly, like, graphical issues. And
in fact, characters walking funny.
Yeah, and, like, there's one cutscene where I'm, like, talking to a character, and for some reason he gets right behind my character. It looks like they're having sex, like they're so close. Like,
oh, God,
he's right behind him at that point. Like, I'm surprised both hands weren't on, like, my character's shoulders.
Oh, that's
you know
so
what
good.
I mean?
That's so good,
that
man.
Joke.
Well, we were talking about...
I guess that's...
Spooning. Yeah.
Anyway. So, just weird stuff like that. So I'm talking to a character who's looking at the back of my head and standing up less than a half inch behind me. Just weird shit like that. But still, the gameplay is kind of, it's fun. I'm still enjoying the experience.
Yeah.
I haven't tried multiplayer yet. I'll probably wait until I get through the story before I do that, because God knows people have been playing multiplayer, been playing it for a while. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, we're very spoiled as gamers, right? So if we get a game that's not like up to the highest standard, we think it's like crap. So I'm sure...
This reminds me that the Anthem beta is the same day Smash launches.
Oh boy, that's going to be interesting. I don't know how.
I don't think it's just that though. I think we're also used to, like a lot of our games were Japanese based, like in the 80s and 90s, and a lot of those games were just more polished.
Yeah, you're right.
Than a lot of the Western releases that we've got as
well. Nowadays, it's just like sit the game out because we're greedy motherfuckers who need all the monies.
Yeah, the EA and the Bethesda.
Maybe later.
Yeah, yeah.
And they never do fix everything.
No.
BioWare, especially like Bethesda games.
Oh,
like,
Bethesda's the worst.
Dungeon Buster mentioned how buggy 76
company.
Is.
Yeah.
No matter how many times they patch that game, there are always going to be bugs. Like, I wait to play the Fallout games until they've been completely patched and all the DLC is out. They're still fucking buggy, but I enjoy them.
Yeah,
I don't
same
even
thing
care
as Skyrim.
About the Elder Scrolls 6 because they're completely fucking up 76.
Yeah, I'm still interested in.
And
in
they're
Elder
being
Scrolls.
Investigated now because of
loot boxes, probably. Yeah, I'm still interested in Elder Scrolls 6. But...
They're probably a scummy company, and I don't really look forward to any other output in the future because of that.
The only one that I'm interested in is Elder Scrolls because, man, I really like Skyrim for as many bugs as that game has. Like it is. It is all that, and I really liked Oblivion, and of course Elder Scrolls 3. And I
mean, this is what happens when you're owned by ZeniMax, who is run by Trump's brother.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Yeah. You had to bring that up, huh? Dungeon said he's done with Fallout 76, returned it yesterday, but after I launched a nuke, I joined the boss battle it created with others, then I crashed out, so that was it for me. Yeah. That sounds sucks. About like
Are
how
you going to try it again feeling. when it's after like a couple of years, or I'll say probably a year and a half from now?
Yeah, maybe. That'd probably be the right time to jump back in when they get a few of those bugs worked out and make it suck less. Sterling did a really good kind of first impression on that game, and man, he was pretty scathing as he's known to be for a lot of games, but he made a lot of great points. From what I can tell, from what others are saying, like it is right now, it's a mess. It really is a mess. So it just, like you said, Brake, just hang in there and hope for the best later, you know. And maybe
once you crash out of the game, you have to go through the whole nuke quest line again just to do it.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
God knows how long that would take. Like when he says quest line, I'm imagining it's multiple quests.
Yeah,
you know, like. Knowing Fallout, I'd say at least 3, 4, 5 quests you have to go through that probably take you multiple hours.
Yeah. All that effort simply lost on my part because of the crash. Jesus Christ. Ugh.
Yeah, that's stupid. Like, there were problems I had with Fallout 3. Like, this is a single player game, but it would have frame rate drop to, like, lag levels of slow. Like, it would drop to seeming like 10 frames a second or slower. Like, it would feel like you're playing, like, a extremely lagged multiplayer game. This is a single player game? Like, I want to play this game, but I can't.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens, man, for sure. Anything else you've been playing, Brake?
No. I'll be playing Mass Effect.
Yeah,
well,
sure,
and we did mention, like, I've been playing South Park online and stuff like that. Yeah. Fun game.
Yeah. All right, Eric, what have you been playing?
More Psychedelica of the Ashen Hawk. I played a little bit more Bloodborne over the weekend. Then I switched over to Spider-Man before I went to bed just to change pace.
Yeah.
Because that game finally came here.
Oh, nice.
And I played a game that's coming out next week called Monster Boy, which is the Wonder Boy game everybody needs to play if you like Wonder Boy.
Ooh, yeah, there you go. Cool.
It, like, the Dragon's Trap, or Curse, or whatever the hell it was called, it released a year ago by .emu, has nothing on this one.
Oh, God. All right.
I played a little bit of Persona Dancing Collection, which is the bundle that has all three games, Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight, Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight, and Persona 4 Dancing All Night for the PS4. And that collection, I think it's like $100. And the reviews embargo's up, but I haven't written anything yet.
Oh, okay. But you're getting close to getting that.
But right. Like I only bothered with 3 and 5 because I already played 4. But, that's coming out on Tuesday, and it really comes down to, do you like Persona 5 soundtrack or Persona 3 soundtrack more?
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, a lot of the tracks are remixes, but, like, there's some of the original content there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I like the
games
both.
Don't really have a story. Like, they have an intro sequence, which is essentially the same regardless which version you play. Except in the case of 4, which actually does have a story, but it's terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I kind of expected more. I mean, I'm not disappointed. It's still a rhythm game. It's still fun. But, like, there's just the dancing mode, and that's pretty much it.
Ooh, so it's kind of a bare game.
It's a bare-bones game, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't they put this on one? Oh, right, because it's on the Vita, too, and they can't put it on a single cartridge.
Yeah, yeah. Going in just the opposite direction of a bare bones game, Eric, were you playing anything else, or is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Opposite of a bare bones game is fucking GTA 5, man. I finally started playing that game. It is great so far from the little tiny bit that I played. Breakman, you were talking earlier about playing games for a long time, like Mass Effect. GTA 5 is going to be one of those type of games for me, because these open box type games for me, I have a problem with them because I never know really what to do. You know what I mean? Like especially in the GTA world, like I know that there are maps and you kind of have to follow your maps, et cetera, et cetera. But holy fuck, is it hard to distinguish, like to prioritize what to do. And it kind of short circuits me in a way. Like I'm used to like very linear, you know, RPG experiences, and that's okay with me. I don't mind some open worldness, but man, when I have to like just like when I have the whole map at my disposal and there's no real time frame or direction on what to do,
and there's a lot of shit to do in the GTA game.
Yes, yes. But I think
that's one of my favorite things about the GTA games. You can just wander away. You don't have to worry about doing the main quest. You can just go do other shit. And I do a lot of that as I play them.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, I just wish that I could, you know, and I know you can. But there's so many distractions when you're playing that game, and it's so pretty that, like, when I was watching video of Cyberpunk 2077, that game looks phenomenal, right? They went through a whole scenario,
right?
But the world just looks so big and daunting that it kind of I think it looks great, but I'm going to hold off on that game. You know, it's the same thing with, like, Witcher 3. Witcher 3 is a great fucking game. There's no question about it, but there can be so many distractions to get you away from doing what you're doing, you know.
I love those games. The problem is just they take up so much time. Like, I want to play GTA 5, but I know that. Like, I know how much of a time sink it is, so I've been avoiding it.
It's a great game, though, man.
Like, I bet it is. And I by love the way, the GTA games. I love them. I've spent so much fucking hours in like San Andreas and Four, just pissing the cops off, you know.
Yeah.
Just seeing how long I can last when they start sending tanks and shit, and then I steal a tank and start blowing up their shit. Yeah. Fuck that cop. Yeah. Bring the fucking army, motherfucker. Come on, bitch.
Yeah. You know the thing is though, the one thing I do want to note about GTA 5, it's been a long time since I played a little GTA 4, never beat that game. And of course I played
I have never been a GTA game.
I never have either, except for GTA 3. I did finish GTA 3, but, and Liberty Stories and all those, you know, the PS2 era ones. The one thing I will say is it is a joy to drive now. I don't know what they did with the driving in GTA 5, but it is so much more fluid than any other GTA game that I played, which is saying a lot, because that was one of the things that used to drive me fucking crazy with that.
I was watching my brother play Grand Theft Auto 4 back when I was when we were both still living at the parents' house.
Yeah.
And when I saw him driving the car, it almost looked like he was driving drunk, because that's how unwieldy the controls were.
Oh, apparently. So floaty, man. So floaty, for sure. Let me get in chat here. Yeah. Dungeon
GTA
says,
4 also looked like your character was skiing.
In GTA 5, when you are drunk and you're driving, that I imagine that is what the experience of 4 was like.
I don't know, man, but they did something with the driving that just makes it so much better. I don't know what they did, but Dungeon says, I do that a lot in other sandboxy games too. I love wandering away from the main story and just finding stuff. He says, Horizon Zero Dawn recognized when you completed a quest that someone might ask you to do later. It was funny hearing Aloy say something to the effect of, I guess I'm just really good, when she was asked to do a quest but told the person she already did it. Yeah. Yeah, that game is good too. I do have that game too. That's another game I want to delve into, Horizon Zero Dawn. That's another fantastic game that I got to play, man. God damn it. I got to get back into Bloodborne. I got to do GTA 5. I got to do Horizon Zero. I got so many. I mentioned Soma. Jesus.
Yeah. All right.
So many things to do, but and so little time. Let's move.
Yeah, like it's especially GTA, just such a time sink.
Yeah, but a great one.
It's so much fun, but just such a time sink. You can get so lost in it because it's just so much shit to do.
It's the same thing. Like I was playing a little bit of Red Dead Redemption, the first one. And holy fuck, man, that game has so much to do. It's like, what do I do? I don't even know what to do in that game. You know, it's like, wow. Right. All right, let's move on to
RP Grinders reviews.
All right, Brake, did you have any reviews? I didn't see any in the doc. Nothing. He has no reviews. Okay, then let's move on to Eric and your reviews.
Yeah, read three times because there's three reviews.
Yeah, exactly.
But Pokemon The Power of Us is the latest Pokemon movie. It is the 20th movie, so like, yeah, there's like 20 of these, and there's one each year, pretty much. And well, I think they skipped a year or two for like a while, but because Pokemon's been around longer than 20 years, not much longer though. It's like 22 years. So this one is a the last movie was about how they was basically a reboot for the film franchise, and I think it's. They kind of redesigned Ash from the way they designed him in Sun and Moon, the TV series, because he doesn't look quite as goofy, but I get the feeling that this is what Ash was doing up until he got to Aloha and the Mele Mele Islands. But this is a sequel to the previous film, because he's off on another adventure, and he's still not with Brock and Misty. And the interesting thing about this one is they actually took the time to write decent characters with decent motivations and like actual character development, unlike every other fucking Pokemon movie.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's really good.
So I'm just for that alone, I'm giving this movie an 8.
Oh, good. That's actually really good for the Pokemon movies. I haven't heard really good things from most of them.
It feels like it's kind of like a retelling of like the events of Gold and Silver, because like Lugia is involved.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's really good for a Pokemon movie. Eric, anything else you want to add to Pokemon?
Not really.
All right. Let's move on to your review of The Meg.
The Meg is... Well, The Meg, along with The Skyscraper, which is the other movie I saw, it's like...
That's when Rock does kung fu against the building.
These movies were clearly developed with the intent of making money in China, primarily, because all the Chinese product and location placement that you see in the movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, China...
All the publicity in the movie there.
From what I read, man, China's very close to overtaking Hollywood as the number one movie maker in the world, which is...
Because The Meg takes place off the coast of Shanghai.
Yeah, yeah.
And Skyscraper takes place in Hong Kong.
Yeah, plus the use of Asian actors in the respective movies, too. I know.
Okay, the movie itself is about a 6.5, yeah. I'm going to give. But... For the disc release that Warner Brothers put out, I'm giving it a 0 out of 10. You know why?
Oh, here we go. Why?
Because they fucked up the subtitles in one particular scene. There's a character named Toshi. He's the Japanese researcher who's doing stuff with him.
Yeah.
In this ocean marine station. But his name's Toshi. He's clearly Japanese. He clearly says Gomine, apologizing to his wife because he's gonna sacrifice himself to save everybody from the shark, which he does. But the subtitle says speaking in Mandarin.
Oh,
he's speaking in Japanese, you motherfuckers!
Yeah, wow, that's a huge mistake, man. That's really ridiculous. Actually, I'm surprised.
Warner Brothers' translator is racist, apparently.
Apparently,
or just completely stupid,
or oblivious. Maybe
I think. It was a scripting error, because like they had speaking in Mandarin show up a lot, so they probably forgot to copy paste and edit.
Yeah, you know the one thing I liked about The Meg is there's a couple of.
I'm kidding. It's not a 0, but that's still really bad.
that's an egregious error for sure. It's worth mentioning.
It's like, you fucked up. You fucked up the script for the Japanese audio for Batman Ninja because you just used the English dub script instead.
Yeah.
You mean the English?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, the English. English.
Yeah. The Meg wasn't a bad movie. It just it didn't have that punch, you know what I mean? Like that
the Statham body slam him at any time.
I wish, man.
Like, come here, you giant dinosaur motherfucker. Wham!
Yeah, he did with that little submarine.
He sort of does because he cuts it open with the cutty part, or basically his pod got wrecked and it got all sharp, so he used that sharp end to cut it open.
Yeah, he did some pretty amazing things in this movie. It's actually worth watching if you haven't seen it. I agree with you.
I like movies. I don't know. Just
would this
the
movie
top
have been better had they gone full on gore with it, or it would have been better if they just, you know, made more action-y scenes?
I would pay a dollar, like Redbox it, or a couple bucks to get a Blu-ray of it and watch it. It's definitely not a buy for me. I totally agree with Eric. It's a 6 or 6.5 for me for the Meg. I think I did a review for it and
decent. The movie pulls a bait and switch where, like, you think the dog's dead, but the dog's not dead.
Oh, spoilers!
Oh, well,
spoilers!
Thanks for ruining it. Now I don't have to see it. Gee,
they never kill the dogs in those movies, man. Hardly ever.
They haven't, for a joke for the movie.
Yeah, so, like, no dogs and fat kids were harmed in the creation of this movie.
Oh, Jesus! Yeah, what are you saying, Breakman?
This is also a fat kid.
They didn't Lost World Jurassic Park.
Oh, that's true. That's true, but that was that.
They put a disclaimer there.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Okay. What about Skyscraper?
Eric? I think Meg would have been better had they gone like balls crazy with it and made it more like Mega Shark versus Octopus or something.
Yeah. They did kind of have an octopus in there. I was expecting kind of a battle, but
it was a squid, not an octopus.
Or a squid. Yeah.
Well, he said kind of. Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of, but yeah.
It had tentacles. That was the
point. No, I was kind of expecting more like a monster shark like Jaws, which just refused to die.
God, that would have been awesome. Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's move on to Skyscraper, Eric.
Skyscraper is basically The Rock is role playing the role of John McClane.
Yeah, pretty much. I thought the same thing. Yeah, yeah. No, that
except like except
that
most
makes
of
it
the
sound
movie
awesome.
Is, yeah. Except most of the movie is spent with him trying to get inside the building.
Yeah, that's not awesome. Yeah, bummer. But the action sequences in Skyscraper were actually pretty good. I did enjoy it. It did remind me a little bit of Die Hard.
Oh yeah, the other twist in the movie is that he's
spoilers.
The other twist in the movie is that he's special needs, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he has one leg, which is cool. I mean, the type of shit he's doing in that movie, a person with one leg probably would not be able to pull
also,
off,
it's slightly futuristic because like the level of technology in this movie is ridiculous.
Yes, yes, I totally agree with that. Yeah, but I think
it's like 20 years in the future futuristic.
Yeah.
When he says yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, does he raise one eyebrow?
He doesn't do that. He's not a cowboy.
Yeah, I wish, man. That would have been
a
good
nod. He's a black dude. He's not going to act like a cowboy.
Well, you said it was like him doing that. Never mind.
He's like McClane in every aspect but that.
I tell you what, the explosions dwarf the ones that were in Die Hard, though. I have to say, man, they did a really good job with that.
They probably had a bigger budget than Die Hard did.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think I gave Skyscraper a 6.5 when I did the review. What are you giving Skyscraper, Eric?
Yeah, another thing, I want to cut back to the Meg for a minute, but for whatever reason, they had a Chinese cover song of Hey Mickey, a 50s song.
Yeah, I did notice that.
But is the original Meg book written in the 50s or something? Is that what they were going for?
I have no idea, man. That's a good question. That's a really good question. All right, Eric.
So it's like Meg Megalodon shark. So yeah. That's why it's called the Meg.
Yeah. All right, Eric. So what are you giving Skyscraper?
I'll give it 7.5.
All right. That's a little higher than what I had it, but that's perfectly okay. All right. No high escapades this week.
Would you have given it a higher grade if you'd given it the people's elbow?
You goddamn
take
right.
Take this building.
Yep. I actually would have given it a higher score if he would have taken off his leg and hit the building with it and knocked it over.
Or if he mailed a bomb to one of the guys and he was dead. Or something.
Yeah, exactly. All right. No high escapades this week. I didn't see you guys either. One of you guys had anything in there. I did. I don't have one this week. But what we always have, the people's elbow dungeon says, what we always have is.
Yeah.
What is it?
Stinko of the week.
All right. Stinkos of the week. Breakman. As always, you're up first.
I was thinking about the people's elbow before we did Stinko. It was like the 90s finishing move to wrestlers.
I don't even know what the people's elbow is.
It was The Rock's finishing move. Like, yeah. There were silly finishing moves back in the 90s. Like, this one, The Rock, all he did was, like, he would take off his elbow pad, throw it to the crowd, and then he'd bounce from one end of the ring to the other.
And drop an elbow.
Before he dropped an elbow.
Yeah. You know
what
the
worst... That was, like, his super finishing move.
The worst...
I don't think he did anything wrestling-related.
Yeah. He didn't even do his Rock Bottom in the movie, I don't think. Oh, wait.
That's why he's Dwayne Johnson and not The Rock, yeah. Or even Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Dungeon Buster and Chat says, how far does the elevator go? All the way down. Rock bottom.
Hey, real quick tangent break. What is your favorite or the worst finishing movie or movie finishing move in wrestling history? Go.
Worst finishing move?
Yes.
The worst. The worm was stupid, but I liked it. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying
like,
the worst.
Worst finishing move.
That name sounds naughty.
The worm. You know what mine.
The hoe train, maybe. That
no,
was pretty bad.
No, the worst was the leg drop, man, from Hulk Hogan, man. It was like, I mean, it got you excited because he did, you know, the whole, but that was before, but the actual move was so lame. Either that or like the flying burrito from Tito Santana. Those were probably the worst finishing moves in wrestling history. I don't know.
Maybe there should be a move in wrestling called the Nacho Libre move.
I don't know about the leg drop because back then, like back when Hogan started, like all the like finishing moves were basically rudimentary type moves, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the Cobra, Cobra Clutch, you know? Stuff
yeah,
like that.
That looked cool though. Like the leg drop is so lame. It's like the most basic fucking thing. Anybody could do that shit. You know what I mean?
He doesn't, like, Dungeon Buster doesn't remember the worm. Look up Scotty Too Hottie.
Yeah, Scotty Too Hottie, the worm. Hogan leg drop was kind of lame, he said. No one cared because it was Hulk who lit up the ring. Yeah, but it was
yeah,
all...
Yeah, but I forgive him because, like, back then, like, they were all really lame. It wasn't still, like, the late 80s and into the 90s when the finishing moves started becoming really cool.
Yeah, we'll have to, like, talk about that one day break because there's some cool-ass shit
and
in wrestling.
I haven't watched wrestling for a while, but I've seen, like, some, like, recent, like, finishing moves, and they've gotten really, like, creative
yeah.
with some of them.
Yeah.
Really, like, yeah. really... physically talented
yes.
with them. It's like, holy shit.
Like, how do they even pull that yeah. off? How do they do that type shit? Yeah, for sure.
At least it's okay. Now I remember Scotty Too Hottie.
The coolest was the Tombstone Pile Driver from Undertaker. That, to me, that
my favorite was always the Diamond Cutter.
Oh, the Diamond Cutter was good, too, but there's so many variations.
I was never the biggest fan of Stone Cold, but I did like the Stunner.
Yeah, that's another variation of that same move, but yeah for sure. All right, your Stinko break, man.
My stinko goes to Netflix and Disney
yes.
for the cancellation of Daredevil.
Oh boy!
And let me read a few paragraphs for you here. Why it was canceled? And I know I've been blaming Netflix and I've been blaming Disney, and it's both of their faults.
Yeah.
It's more Disney's fault, even though I've been like saying how much I'm like done with Netflix and stuff. But this seems like it's more like Disney's fault to me.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact is, times have changed, and this comes from Deadline. The fact is, times have changed on the digital landscape, and Marvel shows on Netflix are costly to make. Even with New York's generous tax credits, which had an extra clause added to accommodate the series. When the initial deal with Marvel and Disney was made by Netflix 5 years ago, the company desperate to gain a big draw content laid out big bucks for the series, which it never owned. Now the situation is very different, with Netflix awash in new series and returning series that it holds the keys to. In that context, Netflix and Marvel TV Netflix and mute it because nobody wanted to hear it.
Oh come on, we
be
all
nice
to hear
everybody.
That shit.
Love everybody.
Break
okay, anyway, in that context, Netflix and Marvel TV have also been arguing over the season orders, and that may have played a role in Daredevil's demise, as it did Luke Cage's. Being part of the first wave of Netflix original series, all Marvel series have produced 13-episode seasons, but Netflix has since switched to seasons of 10 episodes and has been pressuring Marvel TV to switch to fewer episodes, which the company have been resisting. So there have also been creative issues with a revolving door of showrunners. And so everybody knows there have been new showrunners for every season of Daredevil, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
And so right now, Jessica Jones and Punisher are not canceled. They are still in production for the next seasons, But I think we all see the writing on the wall that they're once those all seasons be canceled. Are out, they're
yeah.
gone.
Yeah. Yes.
Which really sucks because I like these characters. I've grown really fond of like the actors who are portraying them.
Yeah.
They have done such a great job of bringing these characters to life.
I totally agree with you, Brake.
Like, Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio especially. Like,
D'Onofrio, yes.
And John Bernthal as the Punisher. Like, we've had so many Punisher movies.
Yeah.
He's fucking blown them all away with his performance.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually, Brake. Real quickly, I want to read what Weiland says. He said, come on, Brake. Belch into the mic like DSP does on the daily. So, yeah. Your audience is wanting it, Brake, man. So he's giving you the full, you know, full go. Probably not. Obviously, you're being facetious, but all right. Hold on a second.
And there is talk. They said that this is not the end of Daredevil.
Yeah,
didn't necessarily like say that these are the same actors they're going to portray like Daredevil and Kingpin and that again. I'm guessing they're going to go up a completely new direction.
Here's my bold prediction. Obviously, this is a play, like Dungeon says, to get all of those series onto the Disney fold, which is cool. Here's my bold prediction. They will bring back every single one of those series with all the actors.
I got it. I hope you're right, but I don't think they will.
The only one that I'm
would be amazing.
Yeah, the only one that I'm kind of questioning is Iron Fist, but I actually think that the step up in quality from season 1 to 2 will probably carry over to Disney. The reason is Disney, if their service is going to be successful, is going to have to pump out content like no other. Like as much as we talk about Netflix and how much shit that they shovel down our throats on a ridiculous basis, Disney's going to have to do the same. And what better way to start than to produce every single Marvel property that you could possibly get, and Star Wars property. We haven't seen the last of Boba Fett. Trust me. You know that Boba Fett movie that was scheduled to go?
We'll get one eventually.
We're going to get a movie or we're going to get a series. I guarantee it, man.
Yeah.
I guarantee
there will
it.
Be something with that character. Yeah. There's absolutely no way they're going to sit on it.
Yeah, so they have... Disney knows what they're doing. They said no for a reason to reducing the production of those, because
they did with Iron Fist, and I think it was because they realized how bad the first season was.
Oh god, the first season was so bad. It was so bad. But the second season was a market improvement, but even so, it wasn't the greatest. I honestly think
the ending made me want more, though. Like the way they ended, and like, holy shit! Like, he can do that now. I want to know why he can do that.
Yeah.
Well, on the bright side, I've got a Sweeto for you. Just let me get my Sweeto out.
Why don't we wait till
we're not on the Sweeto yet?
I just want to mention it quick because that's all I have to say. But okay, since we're on the subject, these Marvel shows are leaving Netflix, but we're getting Neon Genesis Evangelion in HD.
Yeah, that's good. I guess that's good. That's not
and the live action Cowboy Bebop.
That I'm not excited for.
Yeah, a series or a movie?
Series, I think. I think they said series, right?
I don't remember if it was a series.
Yeah, and it'll probably be American actors.
Yeah. All right.
Which I don't completely mind, because none of the characters in that show are apparently Asian.
Yeah. Well, isn't I thought Spike was?
I think he's like half Asian.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. I thought he was half Chinese.
I didn't get the impression that he was Asian at all. To be honest with
you, really, I always thought he was half Chinese.
That could be. I mean, I could be totally wrong. It's been a while since I've seen that series, but it's a great series. But all right, Breakman. Any other stinkos?
Isn't that enough?
Yeah, that's enough, man. That's a tough one. All right, Eric. You've got.
It's been a stinko year. I'm done with.
Oh that. Yeah, I think yeah. Faye was Asian too. That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Was she?
Yeah.
Okay. You might be right. Because I think you are right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Eric. Let's go with your stinkos.
My stinkos is I got three of them. So wow. First one: Neil deGrasse Tyson has been accused of sexual harassment. The actual article says two more women accuse Neil deGrasse Tyson of sexual misconduct. So that follows the first accusation. So When there's three, there's probably fire where that smoke was.
Yeah, I you know, the first one that came by, I'm like, I reserve judgment. Second one is okay. This is getting a little hot and heavy. Third one, there's definitely some smoke there. So what's going on, man? Just
this is Dr. Caitlin N. Allers, associate professor of physics and astronomy at Bucknell University, told me that she was felt up by Tyson after an after party following a meeting of the American Astronomical Society in 2009. The AAS did not have a mechanism for reporting sexual harassment at the time, but Dr. Aller says she would probably report the incident if it had happened today.
Ooh, yeah, this is not good.
Almost as if almost everybody from Gen X or the Boomer era does not know what consent means.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, if somebody like the status
then
of
again, Neil deGrasse Tyson
to
is
be fair,
a guy.
Nobody taught us.
Yeah,
to be fair to Neil though, like he's also a guy who apparently cannot read the room, which is why he poops on everybody's parade on the Friday 13th or something like that.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to.
Yeah, if he doesn't know how to read the room, then he doesn't know how to know when somebody doesn't want them to.
It's
be
a
touched.
Whole different story when you're putting your hands on somebody, though, man. Like I reserve judgment until. But I'm inclined to believe women. I mean, this is the age of Me Too, man. And, like, we got to stop, like disregarding what these women are saying and start believing right from the get-go, you know. And then let the process go through. And then if it's proven that they're, you know, not telling the truth, then, you know, pull back on your feelings. But I'm inclined to believe this woman, man. Like, I just like I believed Blasey Ford with Kavanaugh, I can't help but be compelled to believe these women. You know, it's the way that it is. It's you know, you can't put your hands on a woman.
The other person was Dr. Michelle Thornley. Maybe that's the person she talked to, but I'm trying to find out who the other person was, but who cares?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it's I'm glad it's coming to light, and I'm sure we'll find out that there are 3, 4, 10 others that will say the same thing. You know, it's just – it's sad because Neil deGrasse Tyson was, you know, one of the people that I held in high, high regard when it came to skeptical topics and other things. But, you know, people like him and Richard Dawkins and, you know, I mean, there's just a whole list of people that aren't as good as what we had perceived them to be. It's sort of like we were talking about Hulk Hogan earlier. I used to think he was the greatest, and come to find out he's a huge racist, and you know, he's a sexual deviant and just a bunch of crazy shit. You know, it's just, I don't know, you can't trust your heroes, I guess is the moral to the story. All right, what else you got for us, Eric?
It's kind of like how it's kind of like what Solid Snake said in Metal Gear Solid. We're like, all the heroes I know of are either dead or in jail.
Yeah, exactly, man. All right, what else you got, Eric?
The death of Stephen Hillenburg, and I don't know how any of you know who Stephen Hillenburg is, but he was responsible for the creation of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, one.
And he died at the age of 54 of complications with ALS.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a horrible way to die.
Yeah.
ALS is a horrible disease.
Yes. Stephen Hillenburg created, in my opinion, one of the most iconic and greatest cartoon characters ever created in SpongeBob SquarePants. I rave
how
about
many of the, how many of the stories did he write in the early days?
Almost all of them. Like his fingerprint was everything in the first at least 4 to 5 seasons that I can recall had Stephen Hillenburg's name all over it, and they were great. SpongeBob SquarePants is unique because of the type of humor, a lot of adult humor that, you know, you could decipher from what was going on, but
it was humor that was good enough for a college student to appreciate.
Yes, yes.
But also something that a child can understand.
Yeah, and
I was personally never the biggest fan, but almost everybody I know was.
So. It, dude, I mean, some of those episodes are some of the greatest cartoons I've ever seen. Like,
I can appreciate it. Like, I like how it was. It was a show that was geared.
Yeah.
For the way it was designed, it wasn't geared for any specific audience. It was made for a more inclusive audience, yeah, you know, yeah. An everybody type audience.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
You don't see that very often.
No, you don't. SpongeBob SquarePants was one of the few characters that pretty much universally everyone could appreciate or like. You know what I mean? Like. There's not very much bad you could say about that cartoon. I mean, later on, the writing got a little bit weird or whatever, but...
later on, it was always weird.
But the character itself, like, it was full of goodness. You know what I mean? Like, there's very, very few characters like that, you know, that you can point to and say, you know, there's a lot of goodwill inside that character. And that's why SpongeBob SquarePants... it will always be one of my favorites and a lot of people's favorites cartoon characters for sure.
My favorite episode was the Krusty Krab training episode.
Oh yeah, those are great.
Where they just end it with the teaser.
I like the episode where SpongeBob was trying to learn how to drive, and eventually I can't remember. Mrs. Puffs eventually gets thrown in jail because she can't take it anymore. But there's just a lot of good humor in those cartoons. I mean, even the later stuff is pretty good. Not as good as the earlier stuff, but you know, it's sad to see Steven Hillenburg go. Very talented individual, and like you said, Breakman, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, is one of the worst diseases that a person could go through and die from. It's terrible. Yeah. All right, Eric, anything else on your
stickers? Yeah, the last one is about the Stanko goes to toy animation for spoiling the shit out of Dragon Ball Super with their latest tutorials.
I've not seen
the trailer. I mean, I did sort of see the trailer, but I was like looking at my Twitter account and I saw it, but I heard nothing. But it was completely in Japanese anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well,
but it did reveal one fact, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah, the thing about trailers, they've gotten so stupid. Like Bridget and I were talking about this probably about a month ago. Like Leatherface, which was Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. The movie was terrible, but it had a great fucking trailer, man. That trailer for Leatherface is one of the greatest trailers, in my opinion, of all time. And those type of trailers are lost in today's trailers. Like they want to reveal everything in the movie because
it's because Toei's like way arrogant and they think very little of their audience, almost apparently, because like they assume that we're just gonna see it anyways,
yeah,
which probably are, but it's like they don't care whether or not we get a nice surprise in the movie or not.
Yeah, and exactly.
They're not doing it like Marvel is, where Marvel's just mum on their trailers.
Actually, Marvel's done the Russo brothers especially have done something really cool that I love, making fake trailers.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
They did a lot of bait and switch, like showing the Hulk in a bunch of their trailers and stuff, and a bunch of scenes that just weren't in the movie.
Yeah.
They made those specifically to throw people off.
I like that too. That's a great way of doing it.
So expect it going forward, you know. Yeah. So expect when we see the next trailers and
there's
stuff.
There's nothing worse.
It'd be nice if that's what ended up happening for Super Broly, where they just faked us out, but I don't think they did that this time.
Yeah,
that's not what happened here.
There's nothing worse than seeing spoilers. Like, what one of them was, like, I think it was Terminator Genesis. They fucking spoiled the whole thing in the trailer. I was like, man, come on. Come on. I that would have been a great moment.
Or even Terminator
Salvation.
The other one before it.
Salvation.
I forget what it was called.
Salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like things like that, man. Come on. Like if I wanted that, then maybe I shouldn't just go to your movies if you spoil it for me, you know. But you're right, Break. The Russo brothers are doing a great job, and I hope people take a cue from them.
The trailers for The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi were good, and the trailers for the prequel movies were good, even though the movies weren't.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, too. They actually had good trailers. All right, I'm going to get to my stinko. I have a couple real quick ones, and I titled this Getting My Ass Kicked in Games and Metaphorically in Life by Kids, okay? In game, like I'm going to say this, Bridget's offspring... I'm going to call them offspring because that's how I feel. I've looked, looking,
they rock and the kids are from the 90s.
How dare you, say that they rock? No, it's just the opposite.
The offspring. How dare you?
Yeah, I know. I like the offspring actually, you know, come out and play, you know, No, I do. I like the offspring, but anyways, her offspring, all right, is kicking my ass in every single game that we have in common on PlayStation Network. And it's like, it's so sickening to me.
Frank, it old.
No, it's weird because like one game, I can't remember which game, I think it was South Park, The Stick of Truth. I fucking scoured that game. Like, got every possible fucking thing I could possibly think of my first run through, right? I mean, there's stuff that you're going to miss just by – how dare you, Breakman? I hate your face. Anyways, I did everything that I could possibly do to get as many trophies as I could on my first run. And this motherfucker has more fucking trophies than me on the goddamn game. And I could tell he just did one run with the goddamn game because it's, you know, close enough to me. But I'm like, how the fuck did he get more trophies than me on the first run when I fucking scoured for trophies on my first run in that goddamn game? And it was every single game that we had in common. He was like 3 or 4 trophies ahead of me. And I'm like, this is bullshit, man. I'm making it my life's mission. And she's
maybe he's watching videos.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to blame it on that. The offspring is watching videos to get trophies. I'm not doing that. I'm getting trophies on my own.
There are Chima Hunter channels.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing, I'm going to pull up a picture in chat here.
Wayland's like, Dark Side Frank. You stupid kids dripping my inputs, dude.
How dare you compare me to DSP?
Wyland? Let him finish.
let me finish. How dare you? God damn it. Freak Five's in chat. He's not able to listen. But anyways,
Frank plays Missile Command next week and he gets stood up.
Okay. In chat, you guys will be able to see a picture. Now, this is a picture of a 2-year-old boy. This boy.
That's the one who beat you?
No. This is something different. All right. I thought I was doing really, really good with my hair, right? Like, I'm growing my hair. It's all long. You know, I'm like, man, this is making me feel good because I've never been really able to grow my hair long. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do something for myself. I'm going to fucking grow my hair long, right? And it's growing long and it's going good. And then this fucking kid, right? Okay, this is Glitterina's nephew, I believe. So that's why I'm pulling it up on the screen here so you guys can kind of see. It's a dark picture, but he has the fucking greatest hair of any human being I have ever seen in my life, male or female.
He kind of has Saiyan hair.
Yeah, it's the fucking coolest hair fucking ever. And it pisses me off because I'm like, this fucking 2-year-old has flowing locks like that. And it's kicking my fucking ass, man. And it's
I want to see him like screaming like you watch it turn gold.
Oh God, man, this is. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
Rat's hair.
It's so ridiculous, man. I'm like, I'm looking at it like, and then the only solace that I have, if you see a picture of this kid like face on, like there's other pictures I'll have to show you guys at another date, but this kid, the only thing that I have better than him. And I can't believe I'm going to say this on RP Grinders, but I have better fucking bangs than this fucking kid right here. That's the only thing that my hair can even compare with this kid's hair. So I just want to say, Glitterina, fuck your nephew. All right? And fuck his perfect hair.
That's sad, because Dungeon Buster just pointed out your competition is earning achievements just by now.
I just want to say, Glitterina, okay, fuck your nephew and fuck his perfect hair. And this is also what I want to say. I have better bangs. That's all I'm saying. I have better bangs. So there you go.
Yeah, but can you turn a Super Saiyan?
You know what? I am a Super Saiyan. I created Super Saiyans, okay? So there you go, Glitterina. I know you're not listening like you never do. But, you know, I just want to say, just from me to you, fuck your nephew, and fuck his perfect hair. So there you go. moving on. That's my stinko. So let's move on to our sweetos. I don't have the soundbite here, but Breakman, your sweeto of the week. Your sweeto, Breakman. Any?
Oh, sorry. I was talking to Freak in chat who just showed up, and he missed all the good stuff, but he's talking about some fucked up shit.
Yeah, he missed. I'll go ahead and type some in chat while you.
His stinko. He said, an asshole who quit a while back is making rumors about his brother-in-law and spreading him to people that still work there.
Oh, that sucks. That's a bunch of bullshit. So
yeah.
Let's see. I'm typing in chat. You go ahead with your sweet O break.
My sweet O goes to we've talked about this man many times and his friends. One of them is currently the president of the United States, and one was a former president of the United States.
Oh boy. Okay.
Talking of Bill Clinton and Donald Trump.
Yes.
They're friends with a man that we know to have had an island of his own that's known as Lolita Island.
Oh, boy. I hope this isn't the
person. Oh, boy. Is it a bunch of little girls?
Yes.
Oh, yes. This is
just named it after the book. Okay.
Hold on, Eric.
You know who, for people who don't know, Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes, I've mentioned this before.
We've talked about this before, and unfortunately, it has never hit, like, the mainstream media. Like, it's something that they keep out of the press for whatever fucking reason to protect these fucking douchebag pieces of shit.
Yes, yes.
This one actually... Now that we now know, like, I guess we knew before that he got a sweet deal, and we're really finding out now how much of a good deal this fucker got to actually get out of what he should have been serving. He should be in prison for the rest of his life. And the people who have rid on his child molesting plane, like Trump and Clinton, should be in jail for the rest of their lives too. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is a sweeto is because the mainstream media is reporting on things like this, which... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell. I get angry about this. Sorry. Okay, anyway. Years after the plea deal in sex, and this comes from the New York Times, Jeffrey Epstein's accusers will get their day in court.
Yeah.
The sordid case against Jeffrey Epstein, who was accused of paying dozens of underage girls for sexual massages in Florida, appeared to end a decade ago. The wealthy New York financier struck a deal to avoid any federal criminal charges, enraging some of his victims who got no say in the agreement, which they deemed far too lenient. Yeah, well, it definitely was. But the victims and the lawyers have continued to fight in civil court long after Mr. Epstein, who pleaded guilty to lesser state charges of soliciting prostitution, completed a sentence in a county lockup, sorry, registered as a sex offender and became a free man. Jury selection is scheduled to begin next week in West Palm Beach, Florida. Courtroom for a civil trial that for the first time could give Mr. Epstein's victims, who are now adults, a chance to publicly testify about their attempts to win justice after the sexual abuse they endured as children. Mr. Epstein's accusers could take the witness stand just days after local investigative report published new details on how Mr. Epstein preyed on young teenage girls and how prosecutors appeared to buckle to pressure from Mr. Epstein's high-powered defense lawyers to keep him from ever doing serious time in prison. The report published Wednesday by the Miami Herald reached all the way to the nation's capital. The former chief federal prosecutor in Miami, who signed off on Mr. Epstein's plea deal, then United States Attorney Alexander Acosta is now President Trump's labor secretary. Mr. Acosta had recently been mentioned as a long shot candidate to replace former Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
Mr. Acosta's critical role in accepting, you know, I'm going to skip ahead because I've been reading a lot
here. Yeah, that's fine.
Try and find one. On Labor Department spokesman pointed to Mr. Acosta's past remarks on Epstein's case. And here's what he said. Mr. Acosta said, at the end of the day, based on the evidence, professionals within the prosecutor's office decided a plea that guarantees that someone goes to jail, that guarantees that someone registered generally and guarantees other outcomes is a good thing. In Florida, though, there was a fresh outrage over the new interviews in which young women described how Mr. Epstein had solicited girls as young as 14 and 15 for nude massages, which sometimes ended in masturbation, oral sex, or in at least one case, rape. And I'm trying to find where the lenient sentence he got, which was...
It was ridiculous. You don't even need to say it, man. The fact that he's not in prison right now, Breakman, says it all.
Well, he was on a work release, so he only went to prison one day a week when he was going.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm just going to move on.
Yeah. Let me quickly. I think we talked about this a couple years ago, Break, if I remember correctly. And I brought up there's a whole hashtag on Twitter with Anonymous called Death Op Eaters. And Anonymous has been talking about this for literally years about the Epstein brothers, Donald Trump. Bill Clinton, as you said, and a lot of high profile.
That's a lot more. Yeah, I know I bring up those two, but just because those are the two biggest names.
Yeah,
because they're two presidents, and there was a prince too, at least one.
Yeah,
but there are a lot of big names.
If the prosecutors were doing their job, they would have used Jeffrey Epstein as a way of getting all the names of all these people and the egregious crimes they committed, and if they were going to do a plea deal. Get rid of all of them. Glitty's in chat. I just got done talking great things about you and your nephew, Glitty. So thank you for joining us.
I bet money was heavily involved.
Yes, of course it was. These guys are like, what, billionaires?
We know Acosta got paid off for that.
Oh, yeah.
What he did. I mean, because he basically sentenced him to, 18 months, I think, and he got a work release, so he only served one day of jail a week.
Yep.
Yeah. As he was allowed to go to work, and then he registered as a sex offender when he was released after 14 months, I think.
Yeah, and I believe it was a minimum security prison.
It had to be because he was on a work release.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, the people like that deserve to be in with the worst of the worst. They're worse.
He rapes so many young girls.
Yeah, yeah, he is a monster, literally. I've talked about the Epstein brothers before, man. Worthless pieces of shit, and
pretty much the worst human beings I can think of.
Yeah, you're welcome, Glitty. She says thank you. She missed it, but thank you. Thank me later, Glitty. Just listen to the show, and I'm sure you'll definitely get back with me. anyways. I'm sorry.
I want to hear a recording of that badly.
Let's see. Let's move on. Eric, did you have a sweeto?
I mentioned it already.
Oh, okay.
About how Neon Genesis Evangelion's
coming to Netflix. There you go. That's right.
Along with the two movies, End of Evangelion and Death and Rebirth, which comes out. Actually, it's the movie before the End of Evangelion.
Yeah. I've never seen Evangelion.
Which is really just a collage of, it's just like a movie version of the show.
Yeah. I need to watch that show, actually.
None of the reboot films are on Netflix, though. Maybe that'll come later.
I did not say anything of the such, Glitty. How dare you accuse me of stuff. Booby. She called me a booby. First time ever in the history of Grinders I've been called a booby. Anyways, Freak 5 is going to tell us a story. I'm thinking, okay, let's move on. My sweeto, involves like the walls really closing in on Trump, but I don't want to get into it now because it'll just be long and drawn out.
Are they though? I mean,
yeah.
Are you sure it's not a lot of political theater that'll lead to nowhere like it usually has?
No, because Mueller is not involved in politics, man. He really isn't. He's just doing his job. And the walls, you can tell. You can kind of see the writing on the wall.
What if they fire Mueller?
They're not going to. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just going to ride out. I think there's a bunch of stuff in play, like Whitaker not, you know, illegally being the acting attorney general. But so far, he's not interfering. So we'll see. If Mueller gets fired, we're in a full-blown constitutional crisis, and we, you know, we could definitely expect a lot of fucking, I mean, chaos. Really.
Well, even there should be riots if that happens.
Yeah,
even Lindsey Graham has turned on him on that.
Like, yeah, and Lindsey Graham
like,
is
that's
worthless.
Shocking. Like,
yeah, and Lindsey Graham is a worthless politician, by the way.
Yeah. But,
no, he hasn't turned on that.
Trump immediately if he did.
He turned on him on the
Saudi Arabia
Khashoggi. Yeah, that thing.
Well,
like when he's starting to turn off like the his most vocal supporters, like that's progress.
Yeah. No, I it's coming. It's coming. And I, for the very first time, I know I've said it kind of on this show before, but I really don't think that Trump is going to finish out his first term. I think he really is going to be impeached. And I know that the Senate is ruled by the Republicans. But like you said, Brake, I mean, if people like Lindsey Graham are starting to kind of chunk away, there's eventually going to be enough votes to get that jackass out of the Oval Office. So, you know, whatever.
Well, what happened back in the 90s when Bill Clinton was impeached by the Republicans in the House? He was acquitted by the Democrats in the Senate.
Yeah.
Because the Republicans didn't get like the you know, the bilateral support. They didn't get support from the Democrats.
Yeah.
Had they done that, they would have been able to get him impeached.
But look at the difference.
So if the Democrats are able today to get the support of the Republicans, then they could get him impeached.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm not going to say for sure, but for the first time, I actually feel that there's a real good shot at getting them the hell out of there.
I still don't think so, but I mean,
it's getting close.
If the horrible things about him came out, like the Epstein things, if those really came out to Congress and such, they'd have no choice.
Yeah, I think also money laundering is going to come back to haunt Trump at some point too. I don't think it's
and if he screwed people over financially,
that
would be a big thing too.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out that he's a huge money launderer, and I don't think it's coincidence that Deutsche Bank was raided with the Panama Papers thing. Just happened to be raided. I mean, now when all this shit with Trump is going on, so. You know, you can expect some shit. Freak 5 says they can't fire Mueller. His investigation is funded until near the end of the next year. That even though that's true, Freak 5, they can fire him. And he's talking about talking about his brother-in-law.
Yeah, that was a stinker. He's giving us the details
on
it.
Yeah, kind of reading through it. The one lady quit told another. So it's rumors. Then my brother.
Yeah, like I said, one of the people got fired and spread a rumor, and he's really going into it. If you want to say it, I don't know if he wants us to say it on air.
I don't think I should go.
I think he's just telling us. I don't think he wants us to say it on air.
Let's not do that. But no, I think you're right, Brake. It's going to take something like, and maybe it will turn up. You know, maybe it will turn up to where.
I'm hoping for the best because He's the worst president we've ever had. He's a moron.
Yeah.
He's like a child with a magic wand.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, real quick question before we get out of here, guys. PS5 in 2019? Yes or no?
I'll no.
Reveal it or release it?
Release. 2019.
No.
Okay.
Hell no.
I was going to say no too, but there were... Man, I saw something, I can't remember which website it was, that was kind of credible, that saying that it might be the end of 2019 we get it. And if that's the case, I'm kind of wondering why. I mean, Yeah, PS5 in 2020.
I mean, they're not even going to show up at E3, so...
Yeah.
That'd be the time to reveal a new console.
Yeah.
Unless they go the Nintendo Direct route and do Sony Directs, but...
Yeah. Yeah, they're skipping E3 next year, so it probably will be 2020. I still think it's a little soon. I mean, the usual... Maybe, in thinking about it, what will it be in 2020? 6 years since the PS4 came out, or seven? Cause isn't...
It'd be six, I think.
Yeah, I think that's 1 year too early.
Because I think I remember the PS4 coming out the year after the Wii U did, along with the Xbox One.
Yeah.
And the Wii U came out in 2013, and so that's 2014.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 6 years. I think that's a little too soon. I think you... I don't know. They know what they're doing a lot more than what I do, but...
Also, keep in mind that the U.S. didn't even get the PlayStation until 2 years after it came out in Japan.
That's true. All right.
It's 1994. We got it in 1996.
Yeah. Freak 5, I think I agree with you. I don't think that
should... We probably could have afforded to wait longer, too, considering it's completely awful launch lineup in the year that went afterward.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah, that's something really weird, Freak 5. And I agree. I don't think it's something that... management should be concerned themselves with. All right, that's all I wanted to ask. PS5. I heard that, you know, there was a possibility of coming out in 2019, and I was like, man, that seems just way too early for me. But all right, so I think that's the show for today, guys. Unless you guys, let's see. Weiland says his brother was predicting that Death Stranding will be a dual release on PS4 and PS5, like MGS5 was. With the I think that's fair. I think that's fair, Weiland.
I really hope they
Man, the game, I might
Norman Reedus walking simulator.
Exactly, man.
I found a homie discount.
Oh, okay. Real quickly, Eric.
There might be other deals, but this one in particular stood out for me. But because I just saw it on Twitter, but the Disney Afternoon Collection is $5 on the PSN.
Oh, wow. That's a good price. Dungeon says PS4 is supposed to have something like a 10-year lifespan, but that doesn't mean it can't overlap. That's true, but man, like coming out even in 2020 seems a little early for me. Like, I don't know.
Well, I said in chat, my personal opinion is 2021.
Yeah, I think that's probably appropriate break with a 3-year overlap, because usually, you know, you want to get the most out of your system. So 10 years seems kind of good, and PS4 is super successful, so why not?
Yeah, I don't see their rush to get the PS5 out is the thing.
Yeah,
that's my main point of waiting until like 2021, because the game PS4 is doing so well.
Yeah, I think
Sony needs to take a year just to unfuck their heads.
I think I agree with that.
I think the only thing that might push them to do it sooner would be if Microsoft pushed up their plans with their next Xbox.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be anytime soon either. I think that's probably 2021 too. At the soonest. I'm thinking with the next Xbox, probably 2022, 2023. Personally.
I agree. I think I agree with all those assessments. All right. Anything else before we end the show, guys? No? Okay. Oh, real quickly, Breakman, what are we betting? Because we got to do this, man.
Shit.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have stalled.
You shouldn't have stalled, man. You're not getting away with it. I actually, the bet from my end is going to be a statement. The statement I have in mind, if the Broncos win,
you know what? It doesn't even matter what I suggest, because my team is not going to win.
I don't know.
So just tell me what I need to do next week.
If the Broncos win this week,
you can win. The Broncos win.
Well, you know, I got to leave a little wiggle room in there, man. When they win, then I want you to say on air that Marvin Lewis is the greatest coach of all time.
Oh, I hate you.
And if the Bengals win, I will say that Vance Joseph is the greatest coach of all time, because I know we both hate our coaches.
You're gonna no. I want you to say, fire Marvin.
Okay.
I want you to tweet out fire Marvin.
Okay, I will do that then. That's our bet. All right.
It doesn't matter. It's not gonna happen. They're gonna fucking Marvin's gonna blow the shit, because you know, like, this was, I think, for any other normal, any other normal coach would have fired, or owner would have fired him years ago.
Oh, yeah,
but, like,
no
this
question.
One just feels to me like Like, come on. Like, he's in charge of the defense, and they still suck. Like, what else do you need to see, Mike Brown? Like, please fire him.
Yeah,
God.
Exactly. Right?
For God's sakes, what else do you need?
You know what? I was bagging on Vance Joseph, but, man, he's got that team. If they win this game with the Bengals, they're right in the playoff hunt, man. So I'm surprised. I'm really surprised. He's turned it around, even though he's a moron coach with some of his decisions. Like, Marvin Lewis – you know, he's got his team.
And
there.
People who defend Marvin Lewis are like, the team is injured. Like, yeah. The team,
so what?
I mean,
all teams are
other
injured.
Teams deal with injuries too. Like, every team deals with injuries. And yes, I realize, like, well, now we've got Andy Dalton out. Whatever. AJ Green was out. Well, yeah, but the team isn't one wide receiver.
Yeah, but he's coming back this week, and it ain't gonna matter.
He'll be back this week, and Andy Dalton's out.
Yeah, Andy
so
Dalton's
you're gonna see.
Out.
You're gonna see. Jeff Driscoll.
What happened to McCarron? Yeah. Oh, he got traded to Buffalo, huh? That's what happened.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get traded. He sued the league to get or sued the Bengals to get out of his contract.
Ah, that's right. And
he
won.
He could be a free agent, yeah. Which he got that, and he went to Buffalo. Promptly got hurt, and then he got sent somewhere else, and then, you know, he's doing nothing. So the dumbest thing he ever did was sue the Bengals.
Yeah, if he would have just held on, he could have been the quarterback right now and probably got a huge contract next year. But whatever.
Yeah, my thought process is next year is going to be Marvin Lewis. It's going to be Andy Dalton. It's going to be the same fucking thing again, and this team is going to have at most 8 wins.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll squeak out 9-10 wins, and they'll go to the playoffs, and they'll get their asses kicked again.
Yeah. Hopefully by the Broncos. That would be cool. All right. sorry, break. I just had to throw in another thing.
That's fine.
All right.
I'm used to it.
Yeah. All right. Break, man, your plugs, please.
Well, I'd like to say one more thing. The people like who defend Marvin Lewis, they bring up how it used to be in the 90s.
Yeah.
The 90s were almost 20 years ago. And you want to compare the team to our worst time in history?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to compare us to the time when we were competing for Super Bowls and such like that?
Yeah.
We're not doing that now.
Every team I compare the Broncos to now is compared to the 3 Super Bowl teams. That's a winner's mentality, you know? You know what I mean? You compare them.
Yeah, to like, you can't, like, the people are like, he lifted us from the 90s. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it's time to, do you want to stay where you are in the mediocrity? You're out of the 90s, but do you want to be into the, like, 80s when this team was competing for Super Bowls?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that exactly. What you do? You want to stay in the 90s? You want to
hey,
stay
Frank.
Better
yes.
than the 90s, or do you want to be 80s?
Yes, Eric.
You're talking about Gravity Rush 2 being lost on your PS Plus.
Yes.
Sony's got a sale for it for $6 on the PSN right now.
Oh, they do? I'm getting it again. Yeah, I'm gonna get that game. I love that game. It's good. It's good. Okay.
Oh man, that is. Really messed up, Freak. I'm just reading, catching up on what he was saying, like with the boss. I don't want to say what's going on the headphones, but like that's just like that's none of their fucking business. It seems like
It isn't. It isn't.
It sounds like a family thing for one thing, but it sounds like the boss's problem should be with people spreading rumors.
Yeah, yeah, that should be the focus.
Like
there,
what happens. What people do in their personal lives is their personal business.
Yeah, yeah. As long as it doesn't affect their work, then
exactly.
They have
exactly.
no business.
If it's affecting their work, then that's another thing entirely.
Yeah.
But
wow, lots of stuff's on sale.
Yeah. I'll check it out after.
Most
the
show. Of it's 70% off.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we got to get out of here, guys. Breakman plugs, please.
You can follow me at break_man on Twitter, and at RP Grinders. I really should see if like there's a guy named break_man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Eric, your plugs, please.
All right. You can find reviews I've written on sites like BostonFastBrigade.com, TotalVGN.com, VogNetwork.com, and OzGamers.com. And if you like what I've written and you want to support me financially, even so much as a dollar would help on my Patreon. The Patreon link is in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG. So you can follow me there. But don't have anything up this week, because last week screwed my plans up for that. And this week was I was either seeing a movie or I was extremely tired because work just beat me down, or I was just wanted to get some movies watched.
Yeah.
But I should be starting to write up again tomorrow. Yeah. So be prepared to look for my Valkyria Chronicles for the Switch review, as well as Valkyria Chronicles 4 and the World Final Fantasy and a couple others.
All right. Anything else, Eric?
No, that's really it.
Freak 5 just admitted that Dragon Quest 8 is the greatest game of all time in chat. I don't know if you guys caught that, but there you go. All right. Follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You can follow the show at RP Grinders, as Breakman said. The only thing I would request from you all, please subscribe to the channel. I need more subscribers. I'm going to try to get 1,000 subscribers next year, hopefully within the next year, and we're at 9. So I think it's a plausible goal of mine. I know it might be a little delusional, but just hit the subscribe button on YouTube and the bell notification. I'm going to try to put different, maybe funny videos, some different stuff on there in addition to the show. So please subscribe to the channel. Put on the notifications. Tell your friends about the show. That's all I ask. And that's about all. Oh, I do want to mention everybody that was in chat. We had Avocado Badado. Freak 5 was, of course, got in there a little late. Commander Root. Electrical Longboard was in there. Glitty was in there. Thank you for joining, Glitty. And I love your nephew, and I love you. Guys are the coolest. Let's see. Wyland was in chat. Thank you, Wyland, very much. Matt Munn Gaming. I don't know if that's Matt Monday Gaming. Positivity Bot. Slow Cool. Of course, our good friend Dungeon was in there. And Tayd, T-E-Y-D __. So thank you guys so much for joining the chat. Really appreciate it. Please subscribe if you haven't already done so. And tell your friends. And if you're listening on Archive, do the same, please. Just go to the RP Grinders YouTube channel, subscribe, and hit the bell notification. Thank you guys so much. All right. Anything else, gentlemen? I will.
Don't take Freak's advice. Don't knock up some stranger in Tijuana.
Okay, there you go, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody knows what we're talking about. Never mind.
Smash Brothers Ultimate comes out next week.
Yeah. Dungeon says,
I think my Wii or my Switch friend code is on my profile, too. So if you want to play me.
There you go. Wyland, take that advice, man. Play. I'd like to see who wins out of Wyland and Eric. All right.
And Wyland's going to get it, too. He's going to smash.
I'm sorry, Freak. Let me clarify, that wasn't his advice. I think he wants me to let everybody know that.
Okay. All right. Thanks for joining, everybody. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later. Freak's advice was, if you're going to cheat, use a condom, take it with you. You don't want them to have your DNA. Good point. Thanks, everybody. We're out. Oh, man. What?